Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
As we all recall, on June 26, the United States Supreme Court struck down Section 3 of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which had required the federal government only to recognize a marriage between one man and one woman, but it left the decision of whether to legalize same-sex marriage up to each individual state. That started a chain reaction in several states, including Pennsylvania, when on July 9, the ACLU filed the first known legal challenge to our Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. At the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia 2 days later, Pennsylvania's Attorney General Kathleen Kane announced that she would not defend DOMA. The job then fell to the administration. Isn't what Kathleen Kane did unconstitutional? I thought it was. That's my first reaction. My guest today is Representative Daryl Metcalf, and he will address that issue in the effort he's undertaken to bring Kathleen Kane into line. Thanks, Representative Metcalf, for being with us.
Good to be with you, Diane.
Now, as I mentioned in the intro, 2 days after the ACLU filed the lawsuit, Philadelphia was the host to Kathleen Kane. She went to the National Constitution Center and said this, quote, "I cannot ethically defend the constitutionality of Pennsylvania's version of DOMA, where I believe is wholly unconstitutional. Who represents you? Who is it in this Commonwealth that stands up for your rights, your constitutional protections? And in thinking of that, I thought the only person who has that duty and responsibility is the Office of the Attorney General. And as Attorney General, I chose you," unquote. Now, to me, that sounded like a biased political announcement. Isn't the Attorney General's office supposed to be somewhat non-political in her fulfilling her duties? What do you think?
Well, it's hard to remove politics from the Attorney General's office because someone is elected as Attorney General, and they ultimately were a nominee of a party, and then a party's resources are spent and utilized to have that person elected. So, you know, you really can't take the politics out of the office totally, but under our law and under the Constitution, when somebody is elected Attorney General, that Attorney General, under our Constitution, has the duties that are prescribed by law by the General Assembly, by the people's elected voice through the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, the Pennsylvania Senate, and then, of course, those pieces of legislation are signed into law by the governor. So under our law in Pennsylvania, under the Commonwealth Attorneys Act in Pennsylvania, a law that was passed by the General Assembly, signed by the governor, the Attorney General has the responsibility to defend the constitutionality of all laws in Pennsylvania that would be challenged in the court. So when a federal lawsuit was filed against our Defense of Marriage Act here in Pennsylvania, because our law in Pennsylvania requires that and defines that marriage is between one man and one woman, and our law does not allow for any other type of union besides between one man and one woman to be recognized, whether it was recognized in another state or another foreign jurisdiction. So she has a responsibility under the Commonwealth Attorneys Act to defend our Defense of Marriage Act, as she would have to defend our Castle Doctrine or any other law that might be challenged in the courts. The law that's being challenged isn't the point. The point is that this Attorney General has publicly stated that she is refusing to abide by the law of Pennsylvania and defend the constitutionality of a law in Pennsylvania that's being challenged in the court.
I know a euthanasia group, I think it was a case out of Philadelphia, asked the Attorney General not to defend Pennsylvania's euthanasia law, you know, the law that forbids euthanasia, because of that ongoing case with I believe it was a nurse in Philadelphia who helped euthanize her father. Because of Kane's announcement that she would not defend DOMA, the euthanasia group wanted her not to defend a law forbidding euthanasia. But she has chosen to defend that law.
Well, so, we've seen a pattern already within less than a year with this Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, that when she first came into office, she did what Tom Corbett seemed to believe when he was Attorney General he didn't have the authority to do, and that was that she changed our reciprocity agreement with Florida and closed what she was calling a loophole,
right.
Which was just the fact that people in Pennsylvania who were being unjustly denied the ability to get a carry permit by their local police in Philadelphia or possibly in some other county, that they would go to Florida where they have a more stringent background check. They have more stringent requirements to secure that carry permit for carrying a firearm. People in Pennsylvania that couldn't get a permit here in Pennsylvania because of some problems with the bureaucracy in Pennsylvania, they would go to Florida and get their permit.
And you say that Florida is more stringent than Pennsylvania's as far as
correct.
The background check.
Florida's permit required mandatory firearms training.
Wow.
It utilizes the national instant check system, just as Pennsylvania does. Our PIC system integrates with the NICS, the Pennsylvania Instant Check System, is a check that when you're going to purchase a firearm, it's put through the PICS, but interfaces with the NICS, the National Instant Check, and every state is required to use that system before somebody purchases, they go out to a gun dealer and they purchase a firearm.
I thought the liberals said there's no background checks when you purchase firearms.
There's plenty of background checks.
Far
too many for the system to try and deal with those who have evil intentions when they do purchase something, because it's shown the records have shown that the government does not even utilize the red flags adequately to address threats that are out there of people that should not be purchasing, according to the law.
Yeah.
But at any rate, she changed the policy without a change to the law that Corbett thought, while he was attorney general, he would have needed a change to the law to change that policy. So she did that early on, and concerned myself and many others that she was overreaching and she was abusing her position.
Yeah. Well,
And now the Defense of Marriage Act situation occurs where we have a lawsuit, and she publicly denounces the law, claims it's unconstitutional when she was a party to the lawsuit, which she should have known would be damaging to the effort to defend it, and then she refused to defend it, which she has a responsibility to under the law.
Yeah.
And what has come to light since or during the summer is also the fact that, or maybe it happened closer to the latter part of the summer, early fall, that her sister works for her in the Attorney General's office. She had worked there before Kathleen Kane was elected, her twin sister, but she continues to work in Kathleen Kane's administration once Kathleen Kane was elected. My reading of the ethics law is that should not be allowed if you have an immediate family member. They're not allowed to make a financial, they're not allowed to benefit financially from the position that you hold. Her sister received about a 20% raise since Kathleen Kane.
That's just coincidental, I'm sure. Yeah, just coincidental, I'm sure.
Right, and now it's also come to light that she had hired her cousin to be her personal assistant. She's treating the Attorney General's office like a family business at the same time as she's abusing, I believe, the authority of her office and ultimately not complying with Pennsylvania law and defending and fulfilling the duties of her office by defending the DOMA.
Yeah, and it's interesting that in response, I think, in fact, it was the day after you started circulating your co-sponsorship memo, she had a very scathing response, and let me read this one sentence. She says, "I have been and always will be committed to protecting, obeying, and defending the Constitution of the United States and of Pennsylvania. I will continue to be the independent watchdog over state government to provide checks and balances on the power of those who seek to fulfill their own agenda." My thing is, she's saying she's committed to defending the Constitution of Pennsylvania and the U.S., but
right.
I think she's saying two different things.
She's doing just like her role model, Obama, and that's lying.
Yeah, yeah.
When you come out and you say that I'm committed to obeying the Constitution, the Constitution states that the Attorney General has to actually fulfill the duties that are prescribed by law by the General Assembly. The General Assembly has prescribed a law called the Commonwealth Attorney's Act, which requires her to defend the constitutionality of all law.
Mm-hmm.
She's in violation of the Constitution and the law.
Yeah.
So she's not defending the Constitution. She's violating the Constitution.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had the ripple effect. We have Eric Holder, who would not defend the federal DOMA, and in the Supreme Court decision, and then the ACLU lawsuit, Kathleen Kane's announcement that she would not defend our DOMA following the lead of Eric Holder. And then, of course, we have the situation that took place in Montgomery County with the Register of Wills, Bruce Haynes, beginning to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples because he said Kathleen Kane has declared this law unconstitutional, which is not in her job description to begin
with. Exactly. And that's exactly right. Her actions would be a violation of the separation of powers.
Yeah.
She is not a judge. A court might declare a law unconstitutional, and then she would have a right based on that court's decision to reference that court's decision, but there is no court, either federal or state, that she can point to that's declared our law unconstitutional. Our law is constitutional. It is the law of Pennsylvania that marriage is between a man and a woman, and she is seeking to join with the homosexual activists who are intent on destroying that definition and undercutting the family and marriage here in Pennsylvania. But, you know, with this particular issue, a lot of the folks that are listening, they may or may not agree with the definition of marriage being between a man or a woman, but they should agree with the fact that no one is above the law, and that when a law says that something should be carried out, that the person who's receiving that directive that's in office should actually abide by that, regardless of what the law says. And for all of our Second Amendment advocates out there that understand that she's overreached in her her dealing with our reciprocity agreements with Florida, that, you know, if there's a future case where somebody challenges the Castle Doctrine, say, in Pennsylvania, would she, you know, if she just came out and did the same thing and said she wouldn't defend it, we'd have the Second Amendment community that would then be under an attack by her rather than the family values community as it's currently right now. And I think ultimately the whole state is being attacked because our Constitution is under attack. When you have an attorney general that refuses to abide by the Constitution.
And my gut feeling is she will not defend the Castle Doctrine. My gut feeling,
Well, that I wouldn't expect her to. She's she received money from Bloomberg's operation, the mayor of New York City, when she ran for attorney general. So she's beholden to the big gun-grabbing mayor from New York. And that's, I believe, why she did what she did with our reciprocity agreements with Florida.
And I think that's why she went to Philadelphia to make this announcement, because she was there with her homosexual activist allies who voted for her, and she made an announcement there because of that. She wanted to make sure that her supporters knew fully what her intentions were and why, and that she was declaring to them that, you know, I thought the only person who has that duty to protect them was me. I mean, you know that. To make that announcement is just sends a clear message that homosexual activists are the ones she's trying to please through all this. There's no doubt. Now, it took Governor Corbett almost 3 weeks to announce his general counsel would defend DOMA. This was after Kane's announcement. It has since been announced that former Pennsylvania Supreme Court Justice William Lamb has been hired to do the actual defending of the statute, since he has more expertise on constitutional claims. Now, he will be paid $400 an hour, and associates from his Chester County firm, Lamb McErlin, will earn $325 an hour. So, we have an issue with an attorney general not doing the job she's receiving a paycheck to do, and the additional expense to taxpayers caused by that decision. You know, what do you do with an attorney general or any other elected official, as far as that goes, who does not fulfill the responsibilities of the job they were elected to? You've started the impeachment, the resolution. Explain the whole resolution process, how that works in Pennsylvania, the resolution for impeachment.
Well, currently I've circulated a co-sponsor memo to members of the House of Representatives asking for their support of an impeachment resolution, and that resolution I expect to introduce in November when we're back in session in November. The resolution would, if it would be adopted by the House, will be passed by the House. First, it would go through the committee process, and then the full House would need to consider it. And once that would be passed, then it would move to the Senate, where the Senate would then be responsible for holding the trial, essentially, on impeachment. And the impeachment would require a two-thirds vote by the Senate, so you would need Republicans and Democrats to join together in impeaching her. And that would, in a sense, just send the message that she's fired. Impeachment is a process that you can utilize to remove somebody from office when they're not fulfilling their duty in that office, and when there's been misbehavior in office. And I think, you know, if you're going to not abide by the law that's prescribed your duties, and you're going to violate the Constitution and the law and the process, that's certainly the type of misbehavior that one would think of that would be a reason for having somebody impeached and removed from office.
And we don't see that used often enough, as far as I'm concerned.
No, and that's part of a tool that the legislature has at its disposal to ensure that there is a balance of power between the executive and the judicial branches of our government. And we have an out-of-control court, whether it's state or federal level. And the courts are out of control. There's so many activists that sit on the bench that make policy and make law from the bench. If you look at a commercial that's playing right now for for Max Baer, who's running for his retention right now. He's got commercials out there talking about how he's helped children. And if somebody kind of thinks about what he's claiming in these commercials, they have to wonder, how in the world is a judge claiming that he was actually responsible for saving taxpayers' money and for changing, for making this policy that affects so many children? It's because of an activist type of decision. And that's what we see, whether it's county-level courts or state-level courts or federal courts, we see judges making decisions that only lawmakers should be making to set policy. The impeachment process would allow us to remove those individuals also.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's not just isolated to the Attorney General, because the Constitution allows any elected individual who is overreaching their authority or not fulfilling their job description to be impeached.
Well, it's the same with the clerk from Montgomery County. Yep. Impeachment would be the proper resolution to deal with his willful violation of state law when he issued all those marriage licenses to homosexuals.
174.
The Corbett administration had to go to court to try and stop that. Mm-hmm. There was a mayor out here in the Pittsburgh area, I believe from Braddock, that was performing ceremonies as a mayor from his legal elected position, and impeachment would be the proper process to deal with his willful rebellion against the law from that official capacity that he holds as an elected mayor.
Would that be started in local situations like that? Would that be started something that the legislature would do, or how would? Okay, same.
Yeah, the House has sole authority for starting the impeachment process. The Senate, of course, works as the jury in those impeachment proceedings. And to impeach anyone, you need 2/3 of the Senate to vote for that. Once the House would pass the resolution on the impeachment.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if a local was handled in a different way than state level position or not, but same way. Wow. Yeah, as we see, it's like a snowball with the Supreme Court's decision, and we see the snowball effect as the snowball heads down the hill. The decision they made and the snowball is headed down the hill is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, encompassing so many more attacks on different states' Defense of Marriage Acts. There's 4, 5, or 6 are under attack right now. So you have started circulating, I think October 21st is when you began circulating the co-sponsorship memo, and I guess you send that out or email that, I'm not sure how it works, to the 203 House members asking them to sign on as a co-sponsor of this resolution.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, now, we back on July 11th, when she first made this announcement, immediately after her announcement, there was a letter sent from myself and many of my colleagues, including signatories to that letter, were the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader of the House.
Okay.
We sent a letter to her calling on her to comply with the law, to reconsider her announcement. So we gave her ample time throughout the summer to reconsider that decision, that hasty decision that she made in coming out, you know, so quickly after the filing of that suit and saying that she was not going to defend it. You know, we gave her ample time through the summer when we came back in. You know, I had worked through the summer when it certainly didn't look like she was going to seem like she was going to stay the course. We were working on researching the impeachment process and drafting impeachment resolution and took the summer to do that. So, you know, some might look at it and say, well, you know, she did this in July and you're just introducing this in October. So, you know, we gave her plenty of time to reconsider this very poor decision that she made and decision ultimately that is a failure of her to comply with the law and fulfill the duties of her office.
Yeah.
This is not something that I've not picked up the impeachment mantle lightly here. It's something that we've taken time to research, we've taken time to draft. She's had ample time to reconsider her the error of her ways, and I believe it's time to move forward with it.
Yeah, it's interesting that in Kane's response, she makes it appear that you just jumped the gun, and because she says, it is also unfortunate and embarrassing that Representative Metcalf has such limited knowledge of the laws, or perhaps poor understanding of time-tested, clearly enumerated legal principles. But you guys did research for months before, as you're saying, before starting the impeachment process or the introducing the resolution. So it's not like you just said, well, we're going to impeach a Kane, let's get this done.
No, this is not something to be taken lightly. And
absolutely.
Just the fact that I've introduced an impeachment resolution is something that I've introduced a co-sponsor to offer and ask for support of an impeachment resolution is something that you seldom see in the Pennsylvania legislature.
Yeah.
You know, one of the more recent ones was one that was being circulated by one of my colleagues who was talking about working on drafting a resolution to deal with a judge that was recently convicted, a Supreme Court judge in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't have to come to that for that particular individual because she resigned from
right.
office.
Right.
And we didn't have to remove her from office. But for somebody that's not complying with the law and not fulfilling their duties, the taxpayers deserve more immediate resolution to that type of a problem.
Oh, absolutely, because, I mean, she receives a paycheck. I don't know how often you guys get paid, every week or every couple weeks or whatever. But she's receiving a paycheck no matter how often she gets it that we, the taxpayers, pay for. But yet we are also, in addition to having to pay the attorney general who's not doing her job, we're paying the Lamb McErlin legal firm in Chester County, we're paying them to do her job.
Right. That's what the taxpayers have to pay twice. You're paying her and you're paying a firm to come in and do the job that she refused to do.
Yeah, it's totally wrong. So what can we do to help you along with this impeachment resolution?
Well, we need co-sponsors of the resolution. Currently, I have Representative Rosemary Swanger and Representative John McGinnis have both sent me their support for the co-sponsorship. They will co-sponsor the resolution, they've told me. So I need additional co-sponsors. Anyone who is a member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives can be a co-sponsor, Republican or Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this is a partisan issue. It shouldn't be a partisan issue. It should be an issue regarding the rule of law. Is anybody above the law is the question. The answer is no. No one's above the law. And all members of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives should be encouraged to sign on to this resolution, and all members of the Pennsylvania Senate should be encouraged to ultimately vote for impeachment under this resolution.
Yeah. So folks need to contact their state representative and ask them to sign on to your impeachment resolution then.
That would be a great help.
Okay, absolutely. And at a minimum, all the ones who signed that letter back in July or August, whenever you sent the letter, at a minimum, they should all sign on to the resolution.
I agree.
At a very minimum. So thanks for all your work and for the effort that you put forth in bringing this attorney general into line or removing her from office, because if she cannot do her job or if you outlined other issues, other ethic issues also that she is involved in. So it doesn't look good when we have an attorney general who believes she's above the law, not only in this and not defending a law that's been passed by the legislative body, but in also some issues there in our office at the attorney general.
What should be alarming to everyone is that we're seeing a pattern.
Yeah.
And she's not even been in office a full year yet.
And my understanding is she the first Democrat ever elected to attorney general.
I believe so.
I think so.
She's
yeah.
Since the office was created, I believe she's the first Democrat to serve in that office.
Does not reflect well on the party, but then again, other actions that they take doesn't reflect it well on the party either. So, how can folks contact you if they have questions about this or anything else?
They can contact me through my website, which is repmetcalfe.com, repmetcalfe.com. My office phone number is 724-772-3110. That would be the best way to get in touch with me.
Okay. Hey, I sure appreciate all the hard work that you do, because you're definitely one that we can always count on voting the right way and doing the right thing there in Harrisburg, one of the very, 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 very few that we can count on, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Diane. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you to talk about this important issue today.
Okay. Hey, take care.
Have a great day.
You too.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.